Chapter 16. It took about half an hour to get stocked up with pizza and beer. Chris had ordered two of their largest pizzas with a variety of toppings and picked up a six-pack. Adam had taken the hot pizza boxes from him on the walk back, but hadn't stopped watching their surroundings. Chris was getting used to it now, the narrowing of eyes, the repositioning when something caught his attention. It was kind of sweet, if a little paranoid. But he was starting to realize that this was just Adam. Chris twisted the cap off a beer as soon as they got home and handed it over to Adam before grabbing one for himself. The pizza was still warm when they opened the boxes, and Chris taught him the art of eating the best pizza in the city.
"So I gotta ask," Chris started, curiosity getting the better of him. "What's your story?"
"My story?" Adam asked.
"Yeah, there's gotta be something. I'm not stupid, Adam. I know you're in trouble, and I know you're not your average guy on the street. You got a story, and if you'd like to share it, I'd like to hear it."
Chris sipped his beer. Adam didn't speak for a while, just contemplated his pizza.
"You don't have to tell me, man. That's fine." Chris offered Adam an escape. "I just thought it might be good to share it. My mama always said that I might not be blessed with height, but I got broad shoulders."
Adam pushed his beer aside and closed the pizza box.
"It is complicated. I have not... no one... I am unsure where to begin."
"Wherever you want, man."
Chris dropped the empty pizza box to the floor and concentrated on Adam. He had the feeling this was going to be a hell of a tale. Adam was staring straight ahead when he started talking.
"Alpha informed me that part of my creation process was a complete memory wipe, overstimulation of the temporal lobe, so I do not know why I was selected or who I was before they started the process. Alpha has mined some of the information, but they were too smart to leave electronic files on their systems, so a lot of it is still unknown."
"They?" Chris asked.
"Cerberus Corporation."
Adam's voice was hard as he said the name before dropping back to his usual soft tones. "They took a boy and transformed him into a machine. Every vital system was replaced by state-of-the-art technology. Systems so complex that they won't reach the commercial market for 5, 10 years.
Chris whistled. He'd heard of Cerberus. Everyone had. Their ads ran 24/7 on the networks. There were billboards with their product lines posted all over the city. They were the name for cybernetics in the country. Hell, in the whole world. But to think that they were doing this, Chris would never have guessed.
My designation was SB-137. Alpha found records of previous experiments."
"There are others like you out there?"
"No." Adam shook his head. "No. There was a high fatality rate. Very high."
Chris leaned in.
"How high?"
"According to Alpha's records, there was only one successful prototype manufactured."
"You?"
Chris breathed.
Wow, and Chris thought he was alone. He had a family, he had a life, he had memories. Adam had nothing. Well, nothing but Alpha, and now him. Adam wasn't on his own anymore.
"As soon as Alpha cracked my records, I changed my designation, but Cerberus noticed and scheduled me for reprocessing."
Adam laced his fingers together as he spoke, looking down. "Having an identity, a personality, was not part of Cerberus's plan for me. I had the best trainers, biomechanical specialists, cybernetic experts testing me, ensuring that my calibrations were perfect, and I was scheduled for a demonstration before the chiefs. But they could not take the chance that I would say or do anything to embarrass the project managers. Alpha warned me as soon as they booked the programming suite. I could not allow them to zero me again."
Chris could understand that. He tried to think what it was like to know nothing about yourself, but he couldn't get his head around it. He really couldn't. So what did you do?
I escaped. We escaped. But Cerberus do not abandon their investments easily. They are still hunting me.
Adam smiled, and Chris watched his face light up. However, I believe that they are now regretting the quality and complexity of some of their upgrades. This was the closest they came to capturing me, but I believe that they are close to desperation. I have evaded them for over 8 months.
Wow!
Chris was genuinely impressed. It took a lot of skill to stay under the radar for a week, let alone a month. Chris thought of the number of times he'd been stopped for random ID checks, the amount of times he'd had to get scanned and checked, and he was awed by Adam's skill. To stay hidden from a corporation, and one that had so many connections in this city was, well, it was amazing.
So the attack, that was Cerberus?
Adam nodded. One of their drones, upgraded with offensive weaponry and updated tracking software. Chris remembered the wounds, the blood. Adam had almost died.
Looks like they've moved from capturing you to sweeping you under the carpet, Adam. That wasn't a love tap, you know. They shredded you open.
Your assessment appears to be correct, Adam agreed. But I am unconcerned.
Chris's eyebrows rose.
You're not.
Adam shook his head. They expect me to operate within predefined parameters, but I have never been one for conformity.
Chris laughed and opened another beer, offering one to Adam. He took it and drank.
Chris watched his Adam's apple bob, lost in the movement until Adam spoke again.
There is something I do not understand, Chris. I have reviewed your records and find no entries regarding complaints filed against or by you on any system. Yet today there were 3 incidents which could have resulted in critical injury or death.
Chris sighed, picking at the label. How much do you know about the city?
I have access to all city ordinances and databases.
Chris interrupted him, shaking his head. I don't mean the fact sheets. Things work a certain way here. I moved here from the country. I got in because I had a clean record. My immigration status can be revoked if I'm deemed an unacceptable risk.
Chris could see the frown on Adam's face.
If my name appears on too many reports, they're going to round me up and ship me home. And that can't happen.
Why? Adam asked.
If they kick me out of the city, I have no place to go.
He shrugged.
The town where I grew up, my family, they're all gone. I was from Conway, the Sunrise family farm town. My mom put me on a bus before the town got liquidated. There's nothing left for me to go home to.
Adam's mouth opened and closed. Chris finished his bottle and got to his feet, walking into the kitchen with the empty bottle. He hadn't spoken about his home in a long time. Here in the city, no one asked. They didn't care where he came from, didn't care who he was as long as he showed up on time and did the job. Everyone had their own story in this city, and no one shared.
He jumped when he felt Adam's hand on his shoulder.
I'm sorry for causing you pain.
Adam's voice was soft, and Chris leaned back into him, taking comfort from Adam's touch.
It's okay. It was a while ago. I don't think about it much anymore, he lied.
Adam didn't call him on it, and Chris was glad. His chest was on fire, the memory of a long-buried hurt waking up. He closed his eyes, trying to shut out the feeling. He could feel the tears pricking his eyes and shut them tight.
Are you all right? Adam asked.
Yeah, Chris said, just a little too quickly. Yeah, I'm fine. Can we talk about something else?
He forced a smile and turned to face Adam. Adam probably saw through it, but he didn't say anything, just reached out and placed a hand on his arm. It was a little awkward, but Chris appreciated the gesture.
I have a question, unrelated. I took this from one of the bikers, identified as Butch.
It appears to be in code, but I have tried multiple algorithms but cannot decipher it. It is your handwriting. What is the key? Adam pulled something from his pocket. It was crumpled, but Chris recognized it instantly. He smiled, shaking his head a little. It's not a code, Adam. It's music. There was this song on the stereo, and it was catchy. I started writing it down, playing with it. The bikers didn't seem to think much of my song choice.
Why did you write it down? The song will be repeated again, or you could purchase it.
Adam looked down at the piece of paper.
I could run a search, find the relevant information.
Chris tried to figure out what to say. How did you explain music to someone who didn't understand? Sure, he could get his hands on the original song, but this was more than that. It was working out variations, putting harmonies together, working out what worked and what didn't. He usually didn't change the lyrics, but this was his life. Music was who he was. How did he explain that to Adam?
It's not the song, it's the music, Chris tried. But from the look in Adam's eyes, he wasn't getting it.
Come over here, sit down. I want to play you something. Adam sat down on the sofa, and Chris grabbed his guitar. He strummed a chord and tuned one of the strings until it was perfect. He could feel Adam's eyes on him as he started to pick out the chords, and felt a nervousness that he hadn't felt before. This wasn't like playing in front of a crowd of people he'd never see again. This was more than that. He wanted Adam to feel the music, to understand. This was important to him. He closed his eyes and let the music carry him away. He hummed along until the verse, and, taking a deep breath, he started to sing. The words came easily, and Chris poured emotion into each note, hoping that it sounded as good to Adam as it did to him. The verse, the chorus to the bridge, it came together, and Chris chanced to look at Adam. He was still sitting on the couch, just watching, and Chris faltered. He closed his eyes again and finished out the song, holding the last note until the chord died away. He opened his eyes again, pulling his guitar a little closer as he waited for Adam to say something, but the other man was just looking at him, head tilted. The silence was starting to grate on Chris's nerves, and eventually he just had to ask.
So, what did you think?
Adam didn't speak for a minute, just watched Chris closely. Chris was bouncing his foot impatiently, dark thoughts running through his mind. It was obvious that Adam didn't like it. He was just trying to find a way to break Chris's heart gently. Eventually, Adam answered.
The tempo is contemporary, but with country and Western influence. The choice of a solo guitar is bold but brave, with influences of several modern and past artists. The deviation from the original is minor, with the exceptions of the lyrics, which change the subject of the piece drastically.
Chris cut in. Adam, that's great, if you want to write for one of those pretentious music magazines. But that wasn't what I asked. What do you think?
Adam frowned. I do not know what you wish me to say.
Chris put the guitar aside and moved over to sit beside Adam. Chris took Adam's hand in his, rubbing a thumb over the back of his hand. I don't want you to say anything specific. Do you like it? Do you not like it? How does it make you feel?
Feel? I do not feel. Adam frowned.
Chris looked up at him.
You don't feel? At all? Come on, Adam, you have to feel something. That's what music is.
Adam shook his head. There are no provisions within my programming for feelings or emotions.
Chris sat back a little. But you're human. Forget all the metal, forget everything they've done to you.
Chris brushed his free hand through his hair. Okay, Alpha said earlier that you were feeling guilt. That's an emotion. It's all in there somewhere. It's got to be. Think about it. Close your eyes and remember the music. Don't focus on the words. Don't try to decipher the notes. Just listen and tell me what you feel when you listen to it. Doesn't matter what it makes you feel, but there's got to be something. Chris was pushing Adam, and pushing hard, and it probably wasn't fair given how understanding Adam had been about backing off from his questions about Chris's family. But Chris couldn't even begin to comprehend a life without listening to music, and experiencing the joy of a really good bass line, the wonder of a soprano hitting a high C, the rush of a really good gig. He couldn't live without his feelings, and for Cerberus to rob Adam of that, it was horrific, evil. "I do not believe that I have the capacity to feel, Chris." Adam's voice was calm, but Chris thought he heard a trace of sadness mixed in. But was that even possible given what Adam was saying? He tried to think what his mother would do in this situation, but his mind went blank. He watched Adam. His eyes were perfectly blue, with tiny wrinkles around the edges when he smiled or spoke. There was a ghostly trace of freckles on his pale skin, and Chris ached to reach out and brush them. The fingers of his free hand reached out, running over the smooth skin. Adam stilled, and Chris started to pull his hand back, but Adam caught it, lightning quick, and held it in place. Chris leaned in, moving slowly so that Adam could pull away if he wanted, but he didn't, and Chris closed the distance. Adam's lips weren't soft, and the kiss was far from perfect. For the longest time, Adam didn't move, and Chris was petrified that he'd screwed everything up. But then Adam moved, and it was the best kiss he'd ever had.